Tiny Sparks and Turning Points is a monthly selection of protests, strikes and significant dates concerning social change in Australian history. This segment is presented by the Commons Social Change Library, a repository of more than 1,500 resources for campaigners, which can be found at commonslibrary.org.
On the 1st of January 1844, a crowd surrounded Governor Gripps in Sydney, demanding democratic rights as well as action against poverty, convictism and unemployment.
On the 1st of January, but in 1981, a total ban on the transportation of uranium and related mining equipment was placed by the Australian Railways Union.
9 years later in Melbourne, on the 1st of January 1990, Victorian public transport workers saw in the new year by occupying Brunswick, Essendon, Kew, North Fitzroy, Preston and South Melbourne tram depots and running the tram system themselves. This shift to workers' control was undertaken in the context of plans by the state government to get rid of conductors, train station staff and their services to the public. Authorities cut off the power to the system on the evening of January the 1st and locked out the workforce, with the result that no trams ran for 33 days.
A 10-week beer strike, or boycott, of local hotels in the Flinders Ranges town of Caughan came to an end on the 2nd of January 1934, after publicans agreed to lower their prices.
On the 3rd of January 1989, members of Perth's Aboriginal community, along with non-Aboriginal supporters, set up a protest camp at Gunanup to stop a new development. Noongar community members have been prevented from using this culturally significant site for more than a century and a half. Located next to King's Park on the Swan River foreshore, the area had been used by the Swan Brewery Company from 1879 to 1978, after which the factory had become derelict.
On the 3rd of January, but in 2007, around 250 people attended a lunchtime protest against whaling, organised by Animal Liberation Victoria. The demonstration included the banging of a gong 985 times over a 40-minute period to represent the 985 whales killed during the previous year's hunt.
The Committee Against Atomic Testing protested a visit by French warships by chartering a boat on the 4th of January 1965 and sailing alongside them in Sydney Harbour. Bearing slogans in English and French, their action called for an end to nuclear testing in the Pacific.
On the 6th of January 1925, journalists were locked out from the offices of Sydney's Labour Daily for refusing to censor the word scab.
On the 7th of January 1989, 200 workers at Melbourne's CSR sugar refinery returned to work after a 43-day strike for improved paying conditions.
On the 9th of January 2009, Aboriginal activists staged a march from Sydney to Canberra, demanding an end to the Northern Territory intervention. This policy had undermined First Nations autonomy and basic human rights by suspending the Racial Discrimination Act, controlling how individuals and families used welfare payments, and sending members of the Australian Army into communities.
On the 10th of January 1834, the convicts who built the Frederick on Sarah Island in Tasmania requisitioned the ship and escaped in it to South America. Claiming to be shipwrecked sailors, four of the men settled in Chile, but were eventually recaptured and sent back to Australia, while another six moved on to the US and Jamaica, where they remained at large.
On January the 11th, 1915, striking Sydney newspaper sellers called on the public to boycott the Evening News and the Sun over a cut in their commissions they were paid.
On the 11th of January 1951, 270 women process workers struck at three Sydney factories after their employers attempted to lower their wages to less than 90% of that paid to men. The strike spread to another three factories in Sydney and then five in Newcastle.
Members of the Student Housing Action Cooperative were evicted by the University of Melbourne from houses at 272 to 278 Faraday Street, Carlton, on the 13th of January 2009. The properties, previously left disused by the university, had provided housing for 50 people as well as a social centre and open community space, for close to 5 months.
On the 14th of January 1980, printing workers at the Sydney Morning Herald began a two-week strike over the unfair dismissal of a colleague.
On the 14th of January 1982, First Nations activists opposed to the building of an aluminium smelter at Portland by Alcoa disrupted a 200-metre race being held as part of an international athletics event sponsored by the company. Dashing onto Melbourne's Olympic Park track, the land rights activists unfurled a red, black and gold banner reading Alcoa equals unemployment before escaping down Punt Road.
A visit to Canberra by Republican United States Vice President Spiro Agnew was opposed by several hundred anti-war protesters on the 14th of January 1970. Agnew, later to resign his position over corrupt business dealings, was snuck into Parliament early in order to avoid those who opposed both his and the Australian government's prosecution of the war in Vietnam.
On the 17th of January 1887, the arrival of strikebreakers in the New South Wales coal town of Bulli was met by up to 500 locals, including a phalanx of 150 women. Some stood or laid down on the tramway line leading from the town's jetty to the mine, while others held babies aloft, and one waved a red flag and called out, "Danger!" Despite orders to push through the crowd, the tram driver halted. 36 of the strikebreakers, who had been brought in from Sydney, decided to return home voluntarily, with the remaining four forced to follow suit by the column of angry women.
On the 18th of January 1858, Brisbane's first trade union, representing stonemasons, was formed.
From the 18th to the 26th of January 1967, a corps leader of South Vietnam's then-ruling military junta, Air Vice Marshal Nguyen Cao Cai, toured Australia. Cai faced concerted opposition from anti-war and human rights protests wherever he went, including a protest outside Parliament House in Canberra, one under the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and another at Kirribilli House.
With the mandatory imprisonment of refugees in Australia entering its 20th year, a vigil was held outside the Melbourne Immigration Transit Accommodation Centre on the 18th of January 2012. This was held in support of two men on hunger strike inside, both of whom had spent long periods in detention. During the rally, chants of freedom and azadi could be heard, candles were used to spell out SOS, and hundreds of balloons reading "Welcome Refugees" were released.
On the 18th of January 2016, three knitting nanas were arrested after they blocked entry to the Santos Leawood water treatment plant in Narrabri by locking their necks to its gates. 20 other nanas held a tea party in front of them, whilst around 40 other anti-coal seam gas protesters gathered in support.
On the 20th of January 1933, a member of Victoria's Legislative Council had his home picketed by unemployed activists after he evicted a destitute family from a property he owned in Preston.
After years of trying to get Ansett Airlines to take her on as a trainee pilot, Deborah Wardley fought the company through the Equal Opportunity Commission and eventually the High Court before the company finally caved in on the 22nd of January 1980, finally allowing her to take her first commercial flight.
Following concerted lobbying by anti-nuclear campaigners and Aboriginal communities, on the 23rd of January 2002, Pangaea Resources pulled out of plans to build a nuclear waste dump in South Australia.
For his part in a strike by journeyman compositors, James Patterson was sentenced to 2 months' imprisonment with hard labour on the 24th of January 1840 in Sydney for, quote, absconding from hired service. Two others, Jasper Ebenezer and George Scott, subsequently received the same sentence, which was lauded by the Sydney Gazette as a just punishment for those who would try to, quote, frame laws for the government of their masters. The industrial action, which involved most of the trade in Sydney, had brought production of the Australian to a standstill.
On the 24th of January 2001, refugee supporters occupied the roof of the Maribyrnong Detention Centre in Melbourne.
Held on the 150th anniversary of the invasion of Australia, The first ever National Aboriginal Civil Rights Gathering in 1938 challenged the meaning of January the 26th by declaring it a day of mourning. Preceded by a march, the conference brought together Henry Ferguson, Jack Patton, Pearl Gibbs, Doug Nicholls, William Cooper, and other First Nations activists. It released a statement of protest calling for full citizen status and equality within the community.
Also on the 26th of January, but in 1972, the Aboriginal Tent Embassy was set up in the middle of the night on the lawns outside Parliament House in Canberra. Initially numbering four men, the embassy's call for land rights and the recognition of sovereignty resonated widely, bringing thousands of First Nations people and their supporters to the site over the coming months. Following the temporary removal of the embassy later that year, it was re-established at various sites and continues to this day.
On the 26th of January 1988, around 10,000 First Nations community members gathered from across the country to lead more than 40,000 people on a march through Sydney to assert Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander survival and sovereignty in the face of 200 years of colonisation.
On the 29th of January 1990, 48 people were arrested during 2 days of protest in East Gippsland against the logging of old-growth forest.
On the 30th of January 1972, Aboriginal activists daubed land rights slogans on the Captain Cook Cottage tourist site in Melbourne.
On the 31st of January 1909, a train dubbed the Tom Mann Express transported Broken Hill strikers and supporters to the South Australian border, where 2,700 people gathered to hear the socialist activist and union leader speak. During 1908, the BHP Mining Company had moved to slash wages by locking out its workforce. Following subsequent battles with police and strikebreakers, Tom Mann was arrested on charges of sedition and unlawful assembly. Strikers soon found a number of ways to get around bail conditions that forbade Mann from speaking in New South Wales, including holding rallies on the border of other states and making recordings which were played on a gramophone at meetings and protests.
You've been listening to Tiny Sparks and Turning Points. The segment will return next month. In the meantime, to find out more about the history of social change in Australia, you can visit commonslibrary.org.